Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. I have a really special guest for you guys today, probably the most requested guest so far, my husband, Daniel.
Hello.
And we are doing this episode in honor of our 10th anniversary. And we're recording this a little bit early because Daniel will actually be at work for our anniversary. But this is coming out the day before our anniversary, which is October 19th. And so we wanted to just sit down and just kind of share a little bit about what has helped us just through this debt-free journey and what has helped us kind of get on the same page with our goals and share a little bit with you guys. So first of all, I think that it would be kind of helpful if you would kind of describe a little bit about like your work situation, because I get questions about that a lot. Like, what do you do and how long are you at work and all that stuff?
So I work for this company. I've been working there for 12 years. I am a tankerman, which basically means I am in charge of cargo operations. I load and unload the vessel. Me and one other guy. And
like, what kind of products?
Well, it depends. I mean, we do a lot of gasoline, diesel. Since we work up north, we do a lot of heating oil, because that's what they use to heat their homes up there.
Yeah, and you'll have that jet fuel.
Yeah, we did a jet fuel run for a while. Actually was supplying the Boston Logan Airport.
Very fancy.
Yeah.
So, basically, you're at work for 3 weeks and home for 3 weeks, and we've done this for 12 years.
Right.
Even though we've only been married for 10, because we've been together for about 15 years, because we started dating when we were babies.
You say so.
Yeah. I was a baby. So, we started dating when I was 15 and he was 18. Both of our parents thought that that was a terrible idea. But we knew each other even longer than that. Yeah. So we got married on our 5th anniversary of dating at the marina that my family used to own, which is actually where we met.
Yep.
And if anyone keeps up with my Instagram stories, when we go on the boat a lot, when we go to Daniel's mom's house or Mamel's house, as we call it, it's where we grew up, and that's where we met each other and fell in love and all that good stuff. And that's where we went back and got married. So what about, I know that I get a lot of questions about how spouses or partners, people who share money, are different, obviously. And like, as everyone always says, like, opposites attract. So
right.
What are some ways that you feel like that we're different personality wise, but it's worked to like help us reach our goals, our money goals, things like that, be successful in marriage?
Well, in the beginning, it was kind of hard to tell in the beginning because we were both on this path of where we tried to save money and failed horribly at it.
Over and over again.
Over and over again. And we both was just going through this phase where we just, every time I would get a paycheck, we would just spend it as fast as we got it.
Yeah.
You were definitely the first one finally put the final nail in the coffin and was like, we're doing this. No more screwing around. Yeah. We've got to do this. And it took me a while to come around because I had gotten so used to just being to basically do whatever I wanted to do with my paycheck. It was kind of hard to get on board at first because, I mean, patience isn't exactly the easiest thing to have, and when you see something that you want, whether it be a brand new truck, a brand new boat, a four wheeler, a motorcycle, you know,
new clothes,
I mean, being, but obviously with us trying to raise three daughters, this lifestyle really was setting the whole family up for failure.
And it was catching up with us.
And it was starting to catch up with us. Like, I mean, we were living in a house that we didn't need to be living in.
Yeah.
And wasting money that we didn't need to be wasting.
And we were spending money like we were still newlyweds, like we didn't have any kids. And we really, what really got us started was when Izzy was a baby, our middle daughter, when she was a baby. And and it was probably like 3 months of me trying to do this budget and you kind of just, which is how you always are, kind of, I come up with these like crazy harebrained ideas and you're like, sure, whatever you say. And then, you know, it was like 3 months or so probably into it. And then you were kind of like, all right.
Maybe even a little bit longer. I was really hesitant there at first.
Well, it was October when we did our first budget, and then it was the end of January when I added up our debt. And you were still kind of hesitant, but, like, we finally sat down, and I finally showed you how much our debt was. And then, like, a month later, we found out we were pregnant with Melanie. And then I think really when we got pregnant with Melanie was kind of like your, like,
that was
we're going to have three kids.
Well, it was the surprise aspect of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it hadn't have been for Melanie, I mean, I guess she's kind of our saving grace here.
Yeah.
But
we had that motivation.
There was a lot of arguments.
Yeah.
Not knockdown, drag out fights, but mostly just arguments because I just wasn't wanting to do it.
Dragging your feet.
Yeah.
But I think, like, when we got pregnant with Melanie, we were like, oh, God, like, we really are, like, we're about to have our third kid. We really need to get serious. We were struggling so bad with two, and we were still living like we had no kids. And I think, like, those last few months of Melanie's pregnancy, like, we really kicked it into high gear, and we made a lot of progress. Yeah. Like, in those few months, we really got serious. And then once she was born, so that was like a year that we had been budgeting. We were really good at it by then, I think. And we
slipped up a couple of times even after she was born.
I mean, we still do.
I mean, we're not perfect. We still do. We still do now with a cushion.
Well, we still do now with our savings account, not with a credit card.
You know, back in the day, slipping up with, you know, an overdrawn bank account.
Yeah.
Versus.
Now we, if we,
I really wouldn't call it slipping up now, because we're just like, hey, you want to do this? Yeah, sure, I'll budget it, and then we go do it.
Or if we go over budget, it comes out of savings instead of
putting it on a credit card. Yeah.
But I was talking about the other day, I think it was in one of my group coaching sessions or something, I was talking about relying on credit cards, and I was remembering the first trip to work that you took without the Discover card. And I remember, like, how scared you were, because you were like, are you sure we're good? Because we finally, like, had enough money in the savings account. And I was like, yeah. Like,
I barely remember that.
You've got a debit card. Because we quit using our credit cards, but we still carried them around because we were so scared to not have them.
Yeah.
And it was several months into our budgeting that you finally, like, didn't take a credit card to work. So what do you think helped us, like, get on the same page? Because obviously, like, you weren't on board at first. And
so getting on the same page was basically what we did was when we sat down and we wrote out our goal sheet, and you had added up all of our debt, and I don't remember at the time what our, did we have, was it something we were purchasing, or was it?
Well, we kind of like did the rough estimate, like we kind of rough estimated out for like several years, handful of years or so, like where we could be if we saved X number of dollars or whatever.
It was the progress. I think it was starting with the credit cards and getting them paid off and seeing the progress.
Yeah,
is where I started to I not really get on board just yet, but seeing the progress made me realize that this. Hey, this really is working.
I think one of the first things I remember you getting excited about was, like I said, we started our budget in October, and then that year you worked through Christmas and New Year's, and so we got all that holiday pay, and then that check that came in with the holiday pay from me working over in Christmas and New Year's, I took it and completely paid off the Capital One card and the Home Depot card. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And that was in January. That was obviously January. It was the first paycheck.
And I bought my shotgun.
Yes.
I bought my shotgun, and it wasn't even a second thought. It was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. When was that, though? That was a few months later, though, wasn't it?
That was a few months later.
Yeah.
It was, I want to say that was after we cut up our credit cards.
Maybe. I can't remember. But yeah, buying your shotgun was one of the first things that we, like, really, it was kind of expensive that we cash flowed. Because you were, like, really, maybe it was, like, your birthday present.
I think so.
Father's Day.
Yeah.
It was a few months in. But I remember, like, that January, we took that holiday pay money and I paid off both those cards because they were, I don't know, like $1,000-ish each, somewhere in there.
The Discover card was like $1,200.
No, the Discover card was like $12,000.
Was it? Oh, no, maybe I'm thinking about the Capital One card.
Yeah, the Capital One card and the Home Depot card were like $1,000-ish each.
Right.
And then the Discover card was like $12,000. Yeah, it was like $14,000 worth of credit card debt, something like that total.
Yeah.
But like I paid those off, and I remember talking to you on the phone and telling you that I paid them off, and you're like, "Are you really serious?" And like we were two, three months into the journey, and
right.
We were like, "Okay." And then when you got home that next time, I think is when we added up our debt.
Like, so we added up our debt and added up.
We kind of did like our goals.
We did our goals.
Like projected where it could be.
And what did it was when we started planning to buy you a car.
Yeah.
And because it wasn't long after that was like, because you were like, you know, I really need a car.
Well, because we were pregnant with Melanie, and then we were like, oh God, we're going to have three car seats. Like we had three kids in four and a half years.
It took us a year to save the money for that.
It was like a year and a half into the budgeting journey that we got the Suburban because we worked through, we paid off all the other debts.
No.
Then we sold the commercial land.
Right.
In April of mm-hmm. 2016. And then we paid that off. We paid off the rest of the Discover cards. We still had like $9,000 or $10,000 balance on it.
Right.
At that point. And then we bought the Suburban in cash.
That was a big moment for me.
That was huge.
I've never bought, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
A vehicle in cash.
And I kind of wish that I would have went because like, okay, so I just have to, I'll just tell everybody the story. Okay. So the Suburban, obviously like I didn't want to go because of the kids. And so I stayed home, but Daniel didn't want to go alone. So my sister went and he went and got cash out. Cause we were like, how do we do this? We never cash flowed something like that big.
Yeah.
It was $13,300 and Daniel went and got $100 bills out of the bank and like drove. Where was it at? Was it like an hour, 2 hours?
It was in Tyler.
An hour and a half. Drove like him and my sister with like $13,000 in cash. And then whenever they came home, my sister Danny was like, you should have seen Daniel trying to count all those $100 bills. He was so nervous and it was so quiet in that room. And it was hilarious. So when we bought the truck.
Well, I mean, it was in a strange place. No, the funny thing is... When I found this car, this Suburban, I found it on Craigslist. It was an ad. We got this Suburban, and it was a dealer.
Yeah.
But all they had was a picture of the Suburban in an empty parking lot. Like it was like a mall parking lot or something.
Yeah.
And it looked nice. I mean, it's a 2007, and it was shined up. It leather seats.
I mean, it is nice. Still
and,
nice.
And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, there's no way that's an 07. This thing is like balling. This is a nice car.
It's still nice after 2 years of having our kids in it.
The guy originally wanted, what was it like 13.8, 13.9 or something like that. So I messaged him and I said, will you take 13,000 for it?
Yeah, and he like met you at 13.3.
We went back and forth, and he was like 13.3. That's all I can do. Final, you know, 13.3 flat. I was like, done deal.
Was it my budget 13 though?
Yeah,
yeah.
Of course, I went over your budget a little bit, but that's how we.
But with the truck, when we bought the truck though, we cash flowed the truck this past February.
Right.
And he went and got a cashier's check for that because it was like 25. Well, our budget was 25, yeah. And then you came in $51 under budget. So yeah. I was proud of you because you told the dealer, I'm sorry, like my wife says, like our budget is $25,000.
Well, that's another story. We finished the Suburban story.
Okay.
So I get to the dealership and the dealer was a handicap van dealer.
Yeah. They had traded the Suburban in for like a handicap van.
I pulled up to the place, me and Danny pulled up to the place, and yeah. I was like, is this the right place? There's no way. And I'm looking, I'm like, I don't see the Suburban. I think this is the wrong place, you know?
And it's like, you're afraid it's going to be like a Craigslist setup and you get jumped or something.
So, no, I finally see it sticking out like a sore thumb. It was like, it was backed in a row of red handicap vans.
I like how you say sore thumb.
And
my beautiful Suburban.
No, we went and looked at it and I drove it. And you know, long story short, I was actually really pleased with it. You know, we drove it for like 10 or 15 minutes.
And you don't say anything to me, like not responding to my text. I'm at home. My heart is racing. Like, oh my gosh, are they going
to
get it?
That was me and Danny's plan, was to not tell you.
And then he texts me like headed home. And I was like, oh, I guess that's not good because I didn't hear anything. And then I just get a Snapchat of him. And then I can just see like the back rows of the Suburban. Like, obviously, you know, you weren't in the truck or did you go in Danny's car or whatever. But obviously you were in the Suburban. And I was like, hello.
that was a fun day.
It was awesome.
That was a fun day. And Grandma Sharon was still here.
Yeah, Grandma Sharon was here. So we got to take Grandma Sharon.
I don't know why that matters.
The first drive. okay. But then like. What else with the Suburban story? Go ahead.
No, that was it with the Suburban story.
I want to tell the boat story.
Boat story.
Yeah, I just want to tell the boat story. So, like, the first thing on our goal sheet after we paid off our debt, other than the houses, obviously, because we're selling both houses. Yeah. Both the rent house and the house we were living in. We had them up for sale.
So we wanted a boat.
So we were just kind of paying, like, the payments on the houses because we were planning to sell them to pay them off. So we were saving and on our goal sheet, our first thing to cash flow after our small debts were paid off was me a vehicle because we had been sharing our old truck for, I don't know, like an unseen, like an obscene amount of years.
Yeah.
And we had two kids and we were sharing a vehicle. It was crazy. So our first goal was to cash flow a second vehicle, and then our second goal was to get a boat, cash flow a boat.
Right.
And really, the Suburban was kind of for me because, like, I didn't have my own car. And then the boat was kind of your idea, which I think I'm kind of more obsessed with the boat now than you are, but
yeah,
I'm kind of more obsessed with the truck, too. I don't know. But so the boat was kind of like your idea because, you know, we wanted to go out on the lake and all that stuff. And then, you know, we're going to get a family boat so we can take the girls out and we can have those memories and all that stuff. So we kind of more or less took turns, like, setting our goals. And, you know, our goals have changed over the years. Like, one of our goals was to get four-wheelers by now. And obviously we don't have four-wheelers because we live in town now. We've changed them.
But anyway, the boat was a good thing.
Yeah.
That took a little time to save the money.
For yeah. Me. I mean, it wasn't a very expensive boat. How old is the boat? It's like 20-something years old.
It's a 91. It's a 91 Hurricane deck boat.
Yeah. So it's like a $5,000 boat.
Again, found it on Craigslist. Find some good stuff on Craigslist, by the way, if you just take the time to
look.
That's
Daniel's hobby. a little much.
No, I found the boat. It was in Katy, Texas.
Yeah.
And the guy had just taken a few pictures of it. Enough that I told myself I was going to go look at it.
Which we didn't really want a deck boat. We wanted a pontoon boat, yeah. But it just kind of presented itself. Kind of like the Suburban did, kind of like the truck did. Like, right. You searched enough, you did enough research that it presented itself.
Then we went and looked at it. I took your grandpa with me. We went and looked at it. And the guy pulled it out of he had it in a storage unit, pulled it out, and he had completely redone the carpet, the consoles, the seats, everything had been completely redone, and the boat was nice. I mean, cleaned up. It was a nice looking boat.
But I think the point is that, you know, like, if you do your research, you shop around, you save the money.
Well, and
that you can find good deals.
Patience.
Yeah, I mean, patience. Like,
I still struggle with it.
Well, yeah. But, the point is that you don't have to go buy a brand new car, a brand new boat. Like, if you shop around, you have patience, you save up the money, you look for those deals, you wait for the perfect thing to present itself, it will eventually. Right. And it'll be something that, like, it feels good. It's not, okay, like, when we bought the old truck, the 08, we bought it brand new, but it had, like, 12, 13 miles on it when we bought
it
was ridiculous. And we both left there in a brand new, perfect truck, like, both of our dream truck, basically, at the time. And we felt like we'd been punched in the stomach. And, like,
pretty much.
It was ridiculous. And what did we pay, like, 6 years on it? Something like that.
6 years and a couple of months.
Yeah, it was like 6 years and 3 months or something. I don't know. An insane amount of time. We paid it off completely. And just, like, the difference between that punch in the stomach of that first day we owned it versus the day that we bought the new truck, the diesel truck, and cash flowed it, yeah, was like, it was nothing but celebration. It was nothing but, like, we drove around until the girls fell asleep because we were so excited. We were taking turns driving. Like, there was absolutely no buyer's remorse at all because we planned for it, we saved for it, we did our research, you know. So it was, like, actually a good purchase. And I think that it just goes to show you that, like, patience and research and time, like, it pays off. So anyway, moving on from our goals, because we can, like, tell all of our purchase stories all day long. So, what do you think, like, one of the questions that I get a lot is, like, my husband's just not on board. You know, he feels like if we're on a budget, we're never going to have fun again. So, like, what do you say to that guy? What do you wish that you could go back and tell yourself 4 or 5 years ago? Like, quit being so stubborn, like, what?
I mean, I don't really know how to explain it. I don't know why it's harder for a lot of guys to get on board with.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's not true. Maybe I can. It's a lot is because they're the ones, you know, that are spending time away from their family or you know, all day working hard, you know, all week to earn this money, and they feel entitled, which to, you know.
Yeah. And in, like, our case, like, you've spent 3 weeks away.
Right.
And
which is exactly, that's exactly
you've
how
sacrificed,
I felt.
And yeah. I always really felt guilty, like, well, you've worked so hard for this money, you've sacrificed so much, even though we called it our money, I still kind of felt...
The hardest thing to do is to stop looking at right now and start looking at long term.
Yeah.
I use this as an example a lot, and the guys I work with,
yeah,
they're solely only depending on their 401k for retirement.
Yeah, or their Social Security.
And it's like, and it's the same old story every time. Well, I can't retire until I'm 65 or 70 before I can collect full benefits. That's total bullcrap.
Well, and it's just
you
really, like,
you can retire way before then if you would just
buckle down
and just buckle down and just stop being so close-minded about saving money. It's especially guys in my position, in their position, that make so much money.
Yeah.
Saving money shouldn't be a problem. I mean, it doesn't matter how much money you make. Saving money shouldn't be a problem.
It should be more of a priority. And I think it's more of, like,
I mean, if you're making $40,000 to $60,000 a year and you're living like you make $150,000 a year,
obviously it's going to catch up with you.
You need to take a step back and reassess some things.
Yeah, and I think one of the quotes that I say a lot is that it's not focusing on what you're giving up, it's focusing on what you're gaining. And I think, right, especially in the beginning, because you get that fear and you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm giving up this, that, and all the other stuff, and you kind of get wrapped up in, like, what you're giving up, and you forget to focus on what you're gaining. And so in our case, like, we made the shared goals list. We sat down, like, we talked about where we wanted to be in 5 years and 10 years and 20 years and all that. And we did it together. And so, you know, getting a boat that soon wasn't necessarily my idea of how to spend money, but it's your money too. And so we kind of just, like, got on the same page. We talked it out. We didn't always agree 100%, yeah, but we met somewhere in the middle. Sometimes it was 50-50. Sometimes it was 70-30. It wasn't always, yeah, you know, balanced, but we made it work. We made it work for us. And we started focusing on more of, like, what we were going to be gaining. And we started focusing on, like, you could retire in your 40s, 50s, like, worst case scenario. You don't have, yeah, to wait until you're 70 to retire.
Well, no, that's just it. Nobody has to wait.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys that I've talked to about this, that I've told my plans, are like, Dan, how are you going to do that? What about insurance? You know?
Yeah.
What about health insurance?
You get financially independent enough.
You just do it. It's,
you just
don't be scared to do it because you don't think you're not going to be able to afford health insurance.
Right.
That's a lame excuse to work yourself to death.
That's playing the victim, I feel. Like, take control of it. And yeah, it's not going to happen overnight.
You know, but... and the whole thing is, just because I plan on retiring in my 40s.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I plan on coming home and sitting on my butt the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's what
There's still things you can do to make money and be home every night.
That's what I've said a lot. It's like, basically, it's just to retire you from the water, like a hobby job, yeah, that brings in a little bit of money, but it's fun and something that, because I feel like you haven't really been able to pursue a lot of hobbies because of your job. So it's kind of more of just like the financially independent,
right,
stage is where we want to be. And, you know, so, but I think, like, the pride gets in the way, and a lot of guys, like, I don't want to stereotype men, because it's not all men's fault. There are a lot of women who are the partner that is not on board, but that's what I get a lot of questions about, is, you know, the men who aren't on board, because I think, like, the pride gets in the way, and you want to show off that new truck. You want to, you know, you don't want to have to tell your friends, like, oh, you know, I can't go grab a drink with you. We're on a strict budget. Like, nobody wants to say that. And,
well, that's when you've got a whole total, like,
yeah,
issue of different problems. That's when
that's what I say. Like,
that's
when
you're too worried about what everybody thinks.
That's
about
a heart
you.
Issue. Like, that's an inside issue.
That's like, what? How did Dave Ramsey put it when we were,
to impress somebody at the stoplight,
pulling
like that
up
one.
The stoplight, yeah. And that person on the other side of that intersection does not give a crap what you're driving.
And they're not going to remember. I mean, even now, we're like, we drive through town and we're like, oh, that's a nice truck. But, like, tomorrow, are we even going to remember that we saw it? No. Like, it doesn't really matter. You're not doing it for everybody else.
Like, you,
you're
need,
doing it for you,
you're
your
doing
family.
It, you, especially if you have a family.
Yeah.
I mean,
or you're planning to have a family.
They should be your number one.
Yeah.
And it's got to, I don't know how to put this.
I think, like,
help me out here.
You've just got, it's what I tell my ladies. It's really the same thing. I mean, obviously, like, men are going to go about it a different way. Men aren't going to be, like, journaling their feelings and, like, crying about it like women do. But it is still a heart journey. I mean, there's really not, like,
well,
a more masculine way to say that. But it really is, like, it's a personal problem. Issue.
It is hard,
yeah,
to give up that lifestyle. I mean, you have to see why you're giving it up.
Yeah.
You have to see that in the long run, it's the benefits. You just, I mean,
yeah.
I can't sit here and imagine being able to walk away from that job,
yeah,
in my early 40s and being able to come home, stay home, and do whatever I want.
And I feel like, doesn't that outweigh driving a truck that's, what, 6 years old? How old is the truck?
6 years old.
6 years old.
Yeah.
Living in this tiny rent house. Like, the overall, that big vision that we have for our life, that land that we're going to have.
I mean, it's...
That
it's
retirement.
People...
That's worth it.
People get so wrapped up in material things.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, it's just a damn truck.
Yeah. I mean...
It's just a boat.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Well,
it's because it's, you can think, well, oh, you know, my buddy old Joe down the street there just bought him a new 2018 yada, yada, yada. I guess I gotta step up my game. No, you don't.
Because he's not paying your bills. Let him pay his own bills. If that's what he wants to do.
It's that
you
whole.
You let them worry about it.
The whole keeping up with the Joneses thing.
Yeah.
Has just.
It's ridiculous.
Really gotten out of hand. I mean.
Well, especially like now. I feel like it's getting worse and worse now because of like Instagram and all this stuff. Everybody wants to like show off on Instagram and or whatever. And it's just ridiculous. And it's fake. And I feel like when we were living in.
We've done it.
Yeah, when we were living in the big house, we had the new truck, we had a wallet full of credit cards, you know, we looked rich, but we were struggling. Like, we were really struggling. Like, we had our bank account negative sometimes days before payday. We had bill collectors calling. Remember, like, when I had my land payment for the commercial property? I had their number saved in my phone so I could ignore their phone calls because I routinely paid the bill late for like 2 years and to the point where they would call me.
Right.
And like we had our electricity cut off like twice because we didn't pay the bill on time. We had our phones cut off that one time.
Yeah. I remember
when
that.
My sisters and my mom were on our cell phone plan, we had like a family share plan and we got everybody's cell phone disconnected. I was so embarrassed. I was embarrassed to my sisters because, like, I didn't want them to know that, like, we were struggling. And I kind of played it off like, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize the bill was due, but I totally knew. I was just trying to push it as many days as I could. And I was literally in the parking lot of Hobby Lobby about to go shopping when that happened. And the time that our electricity got disconnected, the day that we were in Dallas, the day after the Linkin Park concert, you remember that? Went to the Linkin Park concert, had, like, what, fifth? Row from the mosh pit, like amazing tickets.
Way too much money for those tickets.
Stayed in a hotel. It was my birthday present. We were out to lunch at a decent, like a nice restaurant. And my sister calls and she's like, did you pay the electric bill? The electricity's off. When Danny was still living with us in high school, we were literally out to lunch. Like, talk about fake rich. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous. We've done all the things. But anyway, okay, so that's like, that's a good pivoting point there. So, we used to do all those things to, like, spend money and live the life, but we've got really good at doing a lot of fun things. I feel like we have just as much fun, really, as we used to. Just different.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to talk about, like, some of our favorite cheap, like, date nights and family things and things like that. So what are, like, some of your favorite things that we've done? Like, the things that we do with the girls and stuff.
I mean, our walks.
Yeah.
Taking the girls out for ice cream. I mean, going out to dinner and then going out for ice cream could be expensive. I mean,
well, we hardly take the girls really out to dinner because it's just ridiculous. Like, it's so expensive. They don't eat their food. Then we have to, like, discipline them the whole time we're eating. So if we do take them out, we'll take them, like, we'll go to, like, Chick-fil-A or take it to the park or we'll let them play. We'll do, like, more lunch out with the girls.
Lunch out.
Or we'll go for, like, ice cream or something.
We'll cook dinner here at home and then go get ice cream and go for a walk. I mean,
or we'll like the other day when you bought them the pack of cupcakes from Walmart.
Yeah.
Like, that was so much cheaper than taking them out.
The little things.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to spend $100 to make it, you know, a good time.
Yeah. And that's what I always say. Like, if you're used to, you know, for example, going out for lunch, like, after church on Sundays or something, you know, switch that out for going out for ice cream instead. Because obviously it's going to be so much cheaper than going out for dinner or for lunch. Or you can make it cheaper and still be okay. You still have fun.
Right.
And things like going to the park, going for walks, things that we've done for, like, date nights. Like, we've had a lot more date nights at home. We've had a lot of, like, put the girls to bed kind of a little bit early or just, you know, at a decent hour and then, like, sit outside, drink some wine, listen to some music.
Yeah.
Have, like, a fire outside, just sit and talk, things like that.
I mean, that's...
Going for drives.
Yeah. Those things are fun. Like, you don't...
Going for drives, listening to music.
It doesn't have to be a ballroom show for every occasion.
I think like going back to the days when we were like teenagers and we were dating, like just go to Sonic and sit in the car and like get a burger and just sit and talk. Like that's back road rides, things like that when we were teenagers, and we didn't have the money.
You're kind of getting back into doing that now because it's cheap.
And it's actually more fun.
It's fun.
Than going to like a $100 dinner.
I don't. We kind of went through a phase where our date nights or whatever, you know, we
would spend like $100, $200 easily.
Well, the we didn't even mention like going to grab a burger or something because we thought we were like above that. Like,
yeah.
We had to go eat at the nicest freaking restaurant.
And we had to get a movie and we had to go watch a movie and we had to go out for a drink after or whatever. And we spent like $200 on a date. And honestly, you have just as much fun just getting dinner and driving around. Or, you know, like putting the kids to bed early, watching a movie, popping popcorn, like something, you know. It doesn't have to be fancy to be fun. I think really it's focusing on like the quality time, things like that. So what about staying motivated in the middle of the journey? Like, obviously, you know, anybody's journey is going to be at least several years long, and our journey was like 4 years or so between the time we started and got debt free. And we're still
longer than that. We're still on a journey. Our journey's not over.
We're not done.
We're still on a journey.
We're still living below our means, but like
staying motivated is definitely, I mean, sometimes that's a touchy subject because
it's the hardest part.
It is the hardest part.
Yeah.
But staying motivated for me, which I still struggle with it. There's days where I'm like, screw this. I'm tired of doing this. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. There's days like,
of course, obviously that only lasts for a couple of minutes because all I got to do is think back to the way things used to be. And I'm like, nope. Not going back to that life.
Exactly.
But staying motivated when you are struggling with it, I think the best thing for me is like me and Sammy sit down and we'll pull out a goal sheet.
Yeah.
And or
just have a conversation about it.
Just have a conversation about it. A conversation about our plans. I mean, like the progress that we're making, which is why I like to look at a goal sheet sometimes because I look at it as a progress sheet.
Yeah.
And just seeing that progress and seeing, oh, you know, only a couple more months, like
we're doing like for our camper.
For example, I mean, this trip at work is
hopefully
no emergencies or anything is going to be the last trip at work.
Before
I buy my camper. So hopefully when I come back home, if we find something. That's if we find something
but
we
like.
I mean, that's not saying that because we've got the money and we've got the funds, I mean, I have to go buy one right now. Like, still going to take time, shop around. I mean,
well, it's kind of like what you've been doing, though. You know, like, where it obviously it's taking a while to save up the money for the camper. But how you've been, like, searching through Craigslist and, you know, spending that time, like, getting excited about it, reminding yourself that's what we're doing. And the way that, like, I projected out where we could be, how many paychecks it would take, that really helps stay motivated. We have our debt-free chart.
It doesn't sound
coloring
so,
in our chart.
It doesn't sound so bad.
When you break it down
when
by
you
paychecks.
Break, yeah, when you put it, like, you know, six or eight more paychecks. That doesn't sound bad at all. And yeah, the debt-free the charts. That's looking at that, then that really helps.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that's my ways of staying motivated is shopping around, doing research on things, or like not just looking at campers. I've looked at other stuff too. Like,
that you,
you know,
want
like
years
in, you
in
know,
the future.
In the future, I'm like that just something
visualizing
to keep,
it.
Yeah, just visualizing it. Because the more, I feel like the more you visualize it and the more you can see yourself or your family with, you know, with whatever it is your plans are, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
It makes it easier to stay motivated.
Yeah. And I think just, you know, anytime that we get unmotivated, because I feel like we take turns kind of getting unmotivated. Every once in a while we'll get unmotivated at the same time. But just kind of keeping that conversation open, like talking about it. We talk about a lot, like, well, when we build our house, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, even though, you know, it's probably still like 2 years in the future, but we still talk about it a lot. We still remember to get excited together. And
well, I mean, it's not, on this particular journey, it's not every day is going to be easy.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to remember why you're doing it.
Why you're doing it.
Like you always say, what's your why?
Yeah. Like, what's your big vision? Like, what, you know, that you're walking towards this, that?
This is something, you just have to remind yourself that this is something that you want to do.
Yeah.
It's for yourself. It's for the better of your family.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't for sissies, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
This isn't for the weak.
It's not for the faint of heart.
You know, like, this requires you to buckle down and get it together.
But I think that it really shows your true character.
Yeah, I mean,
that if you can do this, because honestly,
I mean, you find out how tough you really are. You also find out how doing this in some aspect really isn't that hard.
It really isn't that hard. When you look back on it, you're like, oh, that wasn't that bad. Also,
because I can remember sitting right there where you're sitting, shopping for trucks.
Yeah.
And now it's
just like it was yesterday.
Now it's sitting in my driveway. But when I was doing it, I was like, gosh, you know, this is going to take forever.
But time passes.
It didn't take forever.
Time passes one way or the other. And I think the thing, one of the biggest takeaways that we've had is that, you know, even on the hard days of doing this, it's still better than the hard days back in the day.
Right.
You know, at least when it's hard, like when you have to have a frozen pizza instead of ordering a pizza. You know, those kind of days where you're like, oh, this just sucks. Like, this is just not fun. Like, it's just there's no way around. Like, it's just, when sometimes it's just not fun.
Having each other to talk about it.
Yeah.
Too. Helps.
But some days when it's just not fun, you're like, well, I'd rather eat a frozen pizza than put a to-go pizza on a credit card. So it's better than that, you know? Yeah. And I think we've kept our sense of humor about it. We've kept up the communication about it. And then I think, honestly,
There's days that you just don't need to talk about it at all.
Yeah. Sometimes you just...
You know, I mean, but it helps.
Yeah. And I think, like, it has made, one of the things I think that we didn't really expect was how much stronger it's made our marriage. Because I feel like if we could get through this, we can get through anything. And like everyone says, you know, money is, like, the number one reason for divorce. And I feel like once you get on the same page with money, there's not much else that's really going to stand in your way a lot of times. Like, usually it is money that gets in the way of people's marriage. And I think that's so crazy to let something like money get in the way of, like, your love. Like,
well, yeah, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
That's just, there's no better way for me to say that. That's just,
I mean, like, get
flat out stupid.
Yeah.
For you to let money come between you.
Because you'd rather have material things
than
work on your marriage or your relationship.
I also look at it as the positive impact that it's having on friends or family that you're
in our girls.
In our girls. That, you know, people that you're close to, they see your success, they see your accomplishments, they see, you know, how hard you work. And
you never know who you're influencing.
Yeah, you never know who it's. And it's like some like your mom and your sister.
Yeah.
You know, they have completely turned things around.
Yeah.
Since we've started this journey.
Yeah. And now we've got other family members and friends and stuff that have asked us, like, you know, how would you do this? How would you do that? And friends, like, even distant friends or old friends, you know, people that we don't talk to all the time are like, oh my gosh, like, I've heard y'all's story. I know what y'all are doing. And
but it's
crazy.
The girl, our girls.
Yeah, most importantly.
I have no good memories.
Yeah, money-wise.
Money-wise of my childhood.
Yeah.
Money-wise, all I remember is my parents fighting, which eventually led to their divorce.
Yeah.
And I want our girls to see, you know, what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I want them to learn from that. And when they are young adults and are starting to go out into the world, I want them to remember what we did, the steps we took to get to where we're at. I want them, I guess what I'm trying to say is I want them to leave our house, start their own life on the right foot.
Well, even before they leave, like whenever they're like in high school and they get their first job or whatever.
I mean, not to say that, I mean, mistakes are going to be made, but you learn from mistakes. Mistakes aren't a bad thing. It's they're learning curves.
Yeah. They're just hurdles. I
want them to learn from us, so when, you know, they will be prepared, and maybe even to say that they do better than we did.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, that's the ultimate...
I want them to do better than we did.
Yeah, obviously, like, that's the ultimate parent goal. They won't start $500,000 in debt almost like we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and also I think, like, I just noticed, you know, how, you know, while we've been saving money and now how we're, like, saving for the camper, like, we vocalize that. They know what we're doing. And now when we drive past camper places, they're like, how much longer until we can save the money? Or, you know, like, they like to see us color in the chart. Like, we colored in the camper chart while they were asleep.
And they were mad last time. We colored it in without them.
They were mad and they woke up and they were like, hey, you colored in the chart without us. And, you know, just changing, like, our words from, like, when we talk about, you know, we go to Walmart or Target or somewhere, you know, anywhere, and they want something every time because, of course, they do. And, you know, just instead of saying, like, no, we can't afford it, just simply, like, no, or no, you don't need it, instead of, like, blaming money. And I think that we've changed the way that we talk about it in front of them. And just the way that we talk about money in front of them in general, and just the words that we use and all that kind of stuff. But I think, like, our ultimate goal is for them to have a good life, for the five of us to have a good life together, to, you know, go on adventures and travel and live peacefully without worry and stress and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So,
I mean, you live with me, so it's not always going to be
peaceful.
Well,
we have three children, obviously. It's probably never going to be peaceful, even after they're moved out.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. So, what else do we want to talk about? I wanted us to share some memories of our, kind of our journey, what we kind of did throughout. That was kind of my last question. It was just kind of like some funny memories. Do you have any other funny memories you want to share?
You know, not any that jump out at me.
No. I can't think of anything else, because we talked about, like, counting the cash at the buying the Suburban. That's one of my favorite ones. I don't know. I can't think of anything else. Blowing up the credit cards. We didn't talk about that. I need to link to that video. I'm going to link to that video when I do the show notes.
That was pretty cool.
So we decided that whenever we cut up our credit cards, that we were going to blow them up with Tannerite. Which is like, you shoot it and then it explodes. Is that a good way to describe it, basically? Yeah. It's like little beads, kind of, that you shoot and it explodes. So that's what we did. We cut up our credit cards, we put them in this little container, and then shot them and they exploded, and we made a video. And it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
That was a good memory. I don't know. What else? I just think, like, just the whole idea of how much simpler our life is now and how crazy it is. And like I was, Danny and I were talking about this. My sister Danny and I were talking a couple months ago or so. She was like, just think about how different your life is now. Like, if you just woke up in this life, you would be like, where am I at? What am I doing? I was like, yeah, I would have assumed, like, how did we go bankrupt? Like, why are we in this tiny house?
Yeah, right.
Why are we driving such old vehicles? Why are we living on this side of town?
Yeah.
I'd have been like, what alternate universe did I wake up? Like, if I was in, like, a 5-year coma or something, I just kind of woke up in this life, I would be in total shock.
The 2010-2011 Sammy and Daniel would have never.
No.
Like, we would have turned our nose up to even.
Oh, God.
Thinking about this.
To even think about living in this house.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But, you know, I think it's just about getting over yourself and, like, getting over the materialism and thinking about, like, the big vision. I think that's really the ultimate takeaway from all of this.
Yeah.
Is, you know, think about where you're going to be in the end and, like, walk towards it.
And that it's going to be worth it.
Yeah. And it's worth it along the way, too. It's worth it along the way a lot more than I think a lot of people realize.
And we're still having fun.
Yeah. You can still have fun along the way.
No vibes have been killed here.
No.
I mean,
we've survived this long.
Yeah.
Things get better every day. So So, is that it? Do you have any last words of wisdom? No? This is where you tell people, subscribe to the podcast, leave reviews. Tell people that this was, leaving the reviews, this was the best episode ever.
I mean,
make your husbands listen to this video, your boyfriends, fiancés.
I don't know.
Always keep your beer on ice.
Have a good bottle of scotch laying around somewhere.
That helps. That helps.
Speaking of which, I think I left one in the freezer.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining. Do you want to say bye?
Adios.
All right. All right, guys. Definitely share this with anybody that you know is struggling to get their partner on board, and thanks for listening to us ramble and share, visit, basically. That's about it. All right, talk to you guys next week. Bye.